Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you think I'm sounding a little strange, well, I am, because I'm here broadcasting live from the floor of the Northwest Women's Show. But we are going to be talking about something today that is of interest to so many people, and I've been chatting with various individuals about real estate. Our guest is Richard C. Smith. Richard has just got such a phenomenal background. He's worked both as an appraiser as well as an inspector. He's on the line with us now, and we're going to be talking about some of the items that if we're going to invest in real estate, that we need to pay attention to. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's always a pleasure.
You know, Richard, you got into real estate. Why? Why did real estate become such an important issue for you?
that could be a long story. A previous career was as an insurance adjuster, and there are many of the training and many of the techniques and processes that you're involved in that carry over into becoming a real estate appraiser. A lot of it is having good background knowledge of a location, a neighborhood, and construction techniques, and being able to identify problems and being able to communicate the problems.
Well, when someone, because you moved from the appraisal area into becoming involved in real estate yourself, you're always going to have an abundance of stories to share. And there was a lady by the name of Gracie that could have lost a whole bunch of money. Share Gracie's story with us, because there are those people out there in the audience who are always going to be interested in finding that hot deal, that deal of deals. It's just absolutely fabulous. I know of some horror stories, and I'm sure you do too, where people got into situations that they wish to heaven they had never even gotten close to. Tell us about Gracie.
Well, we all want to make we all want to strike it rich. We all want to have the good deal. But unfortunately, many of us stumble or we make bad turns, and sometimes it can be a devastating situation where people lose their life savings. And a lot of it is they just don't have experience, or they don't watch, or they don't listen. They don't pick up on other problems that other people have had. Many years ago, I was doing an appraisal for a potentially to be built home. So part of that process is going out at the bank's request, taking a photo of the lot or the site where the house is to be built, and then I go through examining the blueprints and dealing with the builder to get a specifics of the building and so forth. But in this particular situation, it was in kind of a semi-rural area. The lot was probably about 300 or 400 feet, which would be the length of a football field, from a county intersection. The streets were paved. It was had a lot of amenities to it because it was within like a half an hour of a metropolitan area as far as commuting and for jobs, and it was within 20 minutes of the interstate. But one of the things, because it was out in a little bit of a rural area, it was required that a person would have to drill their own private well, and they would also have to have their septic system. Well, part of this process, as I'm sure you're aware of, is you have to have a lot that's big enough to accommodate those particular things, and then you have to go through the health department to make sure that the septic system is works with the type of soil and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was really overlooked, and this was a young single woman, and she jumped right onto a purchase agreement for buying the lot, and she put $500 down, is that just within that short distance, which would be less than the distance of a football field, there was an abandoned gas station.
Uh-oh,
yeah,
environmental challenges. Oh,
you
my.
You betcha. And the reason a lot of these gas stations are abandoned is because the cost of cleaning up and fixing up leaking underground storage tanks is so prohibitive that many times the owners just throw up their hands and they walk away. And so they just, you know, nothing is done over a period of time, and then the government has to go through their regulations of the condemnation and the cleanup and this and that. Well, in the meantime, all this could be leaking and leaching into the soil. And obviously, if you're dealing with a private well, there's always the possibility that you could be close to an area that would contaminate the well. Well, this particular situation, the young lady apparently had some remorse. I don't think she talked with anybody, but she decided not to go through with the deal. She ended up losing her $500 deposit, and she ended up going to another area to build her house. I know that because I had the assignment to do the house, the same house, the same builder, but on a different lot about 5 miles from there. But,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that lots of times people think, well, you know, that's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal because I've heard of horror stories where people have gotten such bad water, not only could they not drink it and they had to bring in their own bottled water to drink, but sometimes the water is so bad they couldn't even use it to do their laundry. They couldn't do it, use it to do their dishes. You know, everything revolves about around using water. And I'm sure sometime or other all of us have had to cook a meal or bake something, and it isn't just the process, the cleanup. You need water, and we have to have clean water. So she
well, I want to ask you something, Richard, because this is so significant, and more people are paying attention to it. But let's face it, with the price of property, I know here on the West Coast, it's just escalating like crazy. Here is this woman, for some reason, she was willing to lose that $500 deposit, which is fine, but it addresses an environmental issue. If someone is buying and they're going to be looking at rural areas, she was not told that a gasoline station had been abandoned. What can someone do if they're wanting to check the water quality, the soil quality of where they're moving to? Because there are homes that have been built on landfills, Richard, that are potentially deadly.
Exactly, exactly. A lot of it is common sense because, you know, we have a lot of technologies, but, I mean, it just becomes too cost prohibitive to even get involved in, you know, having tests and this and that and so forth done. Now, this gas station was something that was not hidden. I mean, you could see it from her lobby.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
her inexperience was the downfall there. Now, something a person could do, if they're lot shopping or whatever, many times you're having to rely upon the seller or talk with the representative, whether it be a realtor or a real estate agent, asking them questions. But you could also start talking with people around the neighborhood. If there's other homes around there, you could even, you know, talk with the neighbors to see what kind of a well they have, if they've had certain problems such as, you know, saltiness in the water, or if there's smells. You know, you could kind of chat around and do a little bit of an investigation. But this was just, you know, it was just a big, obvious red flag that just caught a very naive person off guard. And
well, I think the term naive, Richard, is a very good one. I can recall a very dear friend of mine. This was a little while, way back in time. She had the opportunity to buy a home. She buys a home. She's sort of getting a lot of pressure to get into a house. The house she ends up buying is actually near, I guess, what you'd call a septic pool. And she didn't know the right questions to ask. She didn't really pay attention. Then after she moved into her house, she found there was this horrible odor.
Uh-huh.
And this septic area was leaking into the underground area under her home, and she was beside herself.
Oh, yes.
Just, it was awful, and not only that, but it was attracting rats and everything else. So when you look at this, if someone is green, That's what I'll use in terminology.
Yes.
You use naive, I'll say green. And they really want to do this. Someone like yourself, because of your background, is very good. What's the best way for someone to find out about that specialist that could help them be sure that they're making a good choice with a piece of property?
Well, pardon me for clearing my throat in your ear. I apologize for that. We all need to do our homework. No one knows it all. You can have people that you're dealing with in the transaction that are very upfront and honest individuals, but there may be limitations on their knowledge of what they know in regards to the environmental or outside influences that would affect that property. So a person has to do their homework. They have to do a lot of checking. If they are up to date and watching what's going on in the local newspapers, that can be a good clue. They can do their homework, find some good books. They have to really protect themselves and be a good student, and then learn to ask the right questions. And then, to even take it a step further, most states have like seller disclosure regulations that require a seller to identify some of these problems. And then if they mislead somebody into identifying or not identifying these problems, then there's a legal challenge involved there. But, I'm not an attorney, but that's one way a person could be protected is with a seller's disclosure statement. That way you have some protection that you were either misled or you were told about these things and you were aware there was problems, and you took your chances regardless. So it comes down to doing a lot of your homework, being very observant, ask some good questions, check around the neighborhood. And you just have to kind of do your due diligence before you take an emotional jump and, jump in there rather than doing a rational thinking process on it.
I have a friend that owned a number of very, very large dogs, and they were putting their house up for sale. The real estate agent walked into their house and said, "You've got to have this place fixed because this house smells so much like dog, it's terrible." it was just awful.
Well,
and she said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Geez, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know what kind of a cleaning service you can get in because the smell of cat urine all of this. Oh, if it gets into the carpet, I'm sure you've got a story you can share with us about that example.
You're leading me right into horror story number 4. Thank you very much. This one.
You're welcome.
This one I call Rover's Revenge, and it actually happened on an appraisal case, not one of mine, but someone else's, and there were pet stains on the wooden floor, and of course wood is very porous, and the appraiser indicated when he or she did the appraisal that there was probably about $300 worth of repairs to this wooden floor. Well, that didn't even touch it. What they ended up doing is they had to remove the strip wooden floor, and it was more like $3,000 rather than $300. But, the thing that amazes me, I have a pet. If you call a 98-pound Labrador a pet, it's a big dog, and it's inside. But sometimes pet owners don't even realize that their animals smell. They get acclimated to it. And I've been in some houses that, especially cats with the litter boxes, it is just, it almost would make a person gag. But the person living there, they get immune to it, so to speak. So that's something. And a lot of people that I get dealing with are more and more sophisticated and start asking questions of, were there pets here? I may be allergic to the hair. I may be allergic to the dander. And obviously they don't care for the smell of the urine and that sort of thing. But a lot of people that have gotten in bad situations, so to speak, are more and more sophisticated to ask these questions up front, Donna.
Well, that's for sure. And I think of a floor specialist who is a friend of our family's and how many homes he's gone into where people who have not had well-trained animals the accidents that they've had. They've had to pull up the carpeting. They've had to pull up the flooring, like you mentioned. So these are all significant things, and I think one of the most important things anybody should pay attention to, and as a woman I say this, your nose.
Oh, yes.
You will, you can smell mold sometimes. There's all kinds of little signals that you can pick up on just by smelling.
Yep.
And this is, now you have a book yourself that you put out. Give us the title of your book.
Well, the title of the book is Be Smart Home Buying with 500 Years Experience. And
right.
I'm not 500 years old. I may look like it, but I'm not.
Well, I don't think you look like it, but that's beside the point. You know, when we're talking about these things, one of the points that I'd like to get across to my listeners is this. You don't learn how to do something unless you have a chance to chat with some other people who have walked the road of experience before.
Exactly.
And that's what Richard and I are wanting to share with you today, because a home is going to be one of the biggest investments you make in your life, unless you're someone that's so extremely wealthy that you can have 5, 6, 10, you know, and maybe some apartments, buildings thrown in or whatever. But it is a wonderful asset, but you don't want to put your money into something where you're going to end up losing a whole bunch just because you're so anxious just to have a home.
Exactly.
Or you think you got the hottest deal. Tell us about Clarence.
Okay, classic car Clarence. This situation involved people that bought just a normal house, nothing out of the ordinary, but the mister of this couple had a classic car. And as I'm sure you're aware of, a lot of the cars that were made 30, 40 years ago, they are much bigger than a lot of the modern cars. They're usually longer, they're usually wider, and what happened is when they brought the classic car to their new home, is that it would not fit in the garage. In fact, the overhead door on the garage actually came down on the trunk lid or the deck lid of the car.
That's not fun.
No, it was too long. And so he wasn't real happy, and obviously his wife kind of reminded him of his shortcomings, that he did not measure the garage for the length or the width, or even with these SUVs now, you need to measure the height. He didn't do all those things, so he thought, well, I'll easily solve this problem. I'll just park it outside and put a tarp over the car, and no problem. Well, he tried that, but he was very shortly advised that this did not fit within the bylaws and the regulations of the subdivision, as they did not allow outside parking of a car with a tarp over it.
Now, so, that is very important. That is something that I don't think many people really are aware of. You're bringing across a very important point. These subdivisions, huge housing developments, they really have very strict rules and regulations regarding parking.
Oh, yeah. You know, and they even restrict even having a little lawn shed in the backyard. And, you know, the condominium rules will restrict, as I'm sure you're aware of, how long you can have the garage door open, if you can have a garden hose laying in the front yard. I mean, it's just, some places it's just, I shouldn't say a Gestapo type operation, but I mean, they just watch you like a hawk. And if you break these rules, they're down on you real quickly. So,
and that's very important. There are still homes, though. I mean, you have these housing developments, and then you have homes that are owned by independent people where you're not subject to these rules or regulations. And that's a very significant point, I think, to bring out. I was visiting a young couple's home just a weekend ago. Beautiful, beautiful house. And they had those same rules. They had signs, do not park on this side of the street. They let me park on the wrong side of the street. But anyway, the thing is, you weren't permitted there, and you wouldn't know if anybody was even home.
Oh, yes, yes.
So what if you like to have Christmas parties? Sorry, yes. You can't park on the street. What do you
do?
Send them to Park and Ride and have your guests come over that way?
Right.
So we really do have to think of these things. Our world is so different from what it was, you know, just, you know, even 10 or 15 years ago.
Some of the things that have been going on here locally in some condominium projects is that they have rules against flying the American flag. They have rules against the size of the American flag that you can put out in front of your house, and that's caused a lot of controversy, as I'm sure you're aware of. But poor Clarence, what he ended up doing, because he couldn't park his car outside with a tarp over it, is he had to go and rent a storage spot for his car in a storage facility. And this cost him over $300 a year. So to add to his embarrassment, it hit him in the wallet, too. So those things sneak up on you. Another thing, and I was just thinking here of another horror story number two, is one I call Holy Floorboards Batman.
Batman's going to get into the picture now?
Oh, sure. We got to have Batman in here. This particular situation involved an appraiser who went out and looked at a very modest home. And what often happens when people are moving out, as I'm sure you're aware of, but I see it more often than you do, is that they've got their boxes of all their personal things boxed up, either, in the basement or in the garage, and they're waiting either for the moving van or if they're renting a U-Haul to move things away. Well, this particular situation, an appraiser went out, and there were a lot of boxes that were stored in the floor area, in the living area. And, it just seemed kind of, it wasn't unusual. So he reported in his appraisal that, the house was in good condition. The people moved out, and when they moved out, nobody went in for a final walkthrough before the closing. The closing went down. Everybody thought things were super, and the keys were given to the buyer. The buyer waltzed in. There was a big hole in the floor. These people had covered a hole in the floor with the boxes there of their personal items. And nobody.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, nobody knew about it. And what the bank, the buyers backed out on the deal. They said, we're not going to buy a house that's got a hole in the floor. And what the bank did is they held the appraiser responsible. And basically, they said, you should have seen this, whether he should have or whether he shouldn't have. That's beside the point. But anyway, they made him buy the house. He ended up buying the house.
Are you serious? The appraiser had to buy the house?
Yeah. It was a very
hole in the floor and all.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it was a very modest house price-wise, it was only like a $25,000 house, and this was like 20 years ago, but the bank made him buy the house.
Amazing. Well,
but
I had mentioned to you earlier about landfill.
Uh-huh.
And when you have known people who have purchased property on landfill, we were talking earlier in the show about environmental issues.
Yes.
Water.
Yes.
Landfill can have anything in it.
Yes.
You can have oil products in it, you can have all kinds of dirt, debris, different materials. Boy, it is such a touchy subject.
Oh, yeah.
What's your...
But, let me just make a quick little side note before we talk about landfills. I have had similar experiences like with this floorboard situation.
Uh-huh.
And I've gone in and I've noticed that like in the basement, would have half of the basement floor would be empty that a person could do a good viewing of it, and the other part of it would be filled with boxes. And I have reported to the bank the situation, just that I couldn't inspect the whole basement because of the personal property, and they made the people move all the boxes to the other side of the basement and sent me back again and paid me to do it to make sure that everything was okay on the other side of the basement. So
smart move.
Yeah, because you can see where people play games, they cover things up, and obviously this particular bank was shrewd enough to, follow through on things. But getting back to your
Richard, excuse me, I'm watching the clock here,
okay.
And I know we're going to have to wind it down fairly quickly, but
cool.
Before we do, we'll have to talk more about landfill, because I know out here in the Pacific Northwest and in many parts of the country, landfill is not an uncommon substance.
Yep.
But we're not going to have time to go into that today. So what I'd like you to do, though, is give out your contact information so my listeners will have that.
Sure. And we always learn from the mistake of others, obviously.
I think that's one of the best ways.
Yeah. My website is B, like B-E, smart, with a smart home buying.com, B smarthomebuying.com. And I'm certain they can get some very good information, and they might even get a couple of chuckles out of the cartoons, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so folks, that's www.thesmarthomebuying.com. Tap into the resources that Richard gives, because there's so much insight here that it's going to save you oodles and oodles, not just of dollars, but also of stress and heartache. Believe me, I've seen so much of it, and it is amazing. I know in our own home, we found vents were not connected, and other things had not been done. Discovered it a few years after we were in the house. So, you know, these are not fun things to go through, but when you listen to other people's stories, then that makes you alert and aware, and you're going to stay on top of it. Richard, again, your website is thesmarthomebuying.com.
Correct.
And then there they have a phone number. If they want to call you, they'll be able to leave, you know, to do that, to be in touch with you. Now, we've got about 35 seconds left. Would you have a thought you would like to leave with my listeners today?
The thought I would give in my overriding theme, pardon me for being self-serving, is that we do learn from the mistakes from others. And it's just like traveling down the interstate and you see a wreck, and that's why the traffic's all jammed up of the rubberneckers looking over to see what happened. You know, and it's just like a bad plane crash. All the federal authorities come out to investigate. Well, this is how we learn. We learn from the mistakes of others. And that's what I try to do, is teach people or share learning experiences, because I certainly don't know it all, by benefiting from all the miscues of other people.
Well, Richard, thank you so much. We are going to go. For those of you who are listening, we'll be back in just a moment. And I'm just so glad to have shared this time with you, Richard. Have a fabulous weekend, and we'll be talking again.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. I will be talking to you. Bye for now.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green. March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.